Well, it was 2 weeks ago when I was here last, and we talked about Peter and Jesus walking on the water. It's always Peter, isn't it? He seems to be almost a co-star of Christ's in the Gospels. That was chapter 14. Since the incident in the boat and Peter walking on water partially and then being saved by Jesus, Jesus has continued to go out and do the work that he was sent to do. Jesus healed the daughter of a Gentile woman that Jesus commended to have great faith, faith greater than he had found in his Jewish brothers and sisters. Jesus healed a crowd of people, thousands of people over the course of 3 days. And then Matthew tells us that he was moved with compassion because they'd been with him for 3 days and they needed to eat. So Jesus did it again. Collected some bread, collected some fish, and Jesus multiplied the food and fed about 8,000 to 10,000 people because of the compassion in his heart. Jesus also confronted the religious leaders and then warned the disciples to be careful because of how they could very insidiously get them off track. In fact, one of the things that the religious leaders did is, in the beginning of chapter 16, they said to Jesus, "Show us a sign." In other words, show us some ID. You know, the claims you make about yourself, so prove it. Well, of course, Jesus is not a puppet on a string controlled by other people. Jesus is the Son of the living God. And so Peter's confession, Jesus' question of the disciples, who he was, and then Peter's confession, and Jesus affirming Peter's confession, is in essence answering the question. He's showing the ID. He's saying, so who do you think I am? If the religious leaders aren't getting it, what do you think? For you see, if the religious leaders had been among the crowd that he was healing and feeding, that should have been his ID right there. To do the miracles that Jesus did, an ordinary human being does not do. Peter's confession of Jesus is pivotal for a couple of reasons. One is that things change from this portion of Scripture in Matthew's Gospel. From then on, Jesus has his sights set on Jerusalem, and he knows that the path that he is walking is the path to the cross. The location in Matthew's Gospel, that's why this is pivotal, the location of where this confession was made, where Jesus asked the question of the disciples, is very important. Caesarea Philippi, there were a number of towns and cities in the area named Caesarea. They were named after Roman emperors, the Caesars. This one in particular, this town was founded by Philip II. He was the son of Herod the Great. And years later, he renamed the city in honor of Caesar Augustus. Well, Philip II did a lot of good for this town. And so the name was expanded to include Philip. So Caesarea Philippi. A couple of things are important here. The Roman Empire, Roman emperors were considered to be gods, small g, and they were worshipped. Statues were made, and you were to reverence and honor and worship the statues of the Roman emperors. Also, in this town, there was a temple to the Greek god Pan. So there was pagan worship here, and there was also pagan worship of the Roman emperor, especially since it was named after one of the Caesars. So Jesus is confronting the disciples and saying, "What are people saying about me? Who am I?" And when Peter makes his confession out loud in this town, this area where a human being is worshipped, and honored as a deity, and a Greek god is worshipped as well. He's making a statement out loud. I don't think that Jesus chose this location. I think Jesus chose this location on purpose. This was not a coincidence that it occurred here. It's interesting, too, because Peter makes this confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus affirms his confession. And then he says, "On this rock, on your confession, I am going to build the church." The next scenario, when Jesus starts explaining to his disciples that he is going to be killed and that he is going to come back from the dead. The first thing Peter says, "Oh, no, you're not. You can't do that." And the very famous response of Jesus is, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So Peter is confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the one promised for thousands of years by God to rescue God's people. And then in almost the next breath, he's opposing what Jesus' plan is. Peter. Poor Peter. Why Peter? His name in Greek does mean rock. Some interpret it as stone, which would be smaller than a large rock. Either way you look at it, Peter means rock. And Jesus says, "You know, you have said what is true. You didn't think this up by yourself, but Father, my Father in heaven, revealed to you who I am, and you are Peter. And this is what I'm going to build my church on. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, the authority of Christ invested in the followers of Christ." But why Peter? Wasn't it 2 weeks ago we talked about Peter? He saw Jesus walking on the water and said, "Hey, if it's really you, let me do that too." And he did. And he got distracted and he started to go down, but Jesus saved him immediately. He didn't make him squirm. Why Peter? Peter, who seems to be a little unstable at times. Peter, who seems to act before he thinks about what he's going to do. Why Peter? It's similar to giving the keys of your vehicle, a vehicle which has the potential to do 100 miles an hour, and putting those keys in the hands of a 16-year-old. Scary stuff. God does not come to us as the body of Christ and followers of Jesus with an attitude, with a heavy hand, you know, and trusting us with the work of Christ, but rather God comes to us as a very loving and understanding parent, putting the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom of God, in the hands of children, children who have been given the freedom to be wrong or to be right, children who have been given the freedom to be faithful and unfaithful, to get it right and get it wrong. God is very good indeed. So even though Jesus chose Peter, we know that it's not because of his track record, and it's not because of how well Peter was going to be, what a great disciple he was going to be in the future, because in the future he denies the Lord Jesus 3 times. Rather, it's his testimony. And as I mentioned to our young friends up here, his testimony was based on his personal experience with Jesus, the 2 years that he lived with Jesus. He saw things that probably are not recorded in the Gospels. He saw things that the prophets were hoping to see and did not live to see. I have a hunch that Jesus starts with Peter so that none of us would disqualify ourselves or each other from being part of the church, part of the body of Christ as followers. There are some who think about Peter the apostle and feel that he represents every human being because of our failures and our foibles and the tendencies that we have, sometimes to disown Christ with our actions and flying off the handle in our attitudes. It's Peter. In this section of Matthew, in this particular text, Jesus connects, for the first time, he connects the church with the kingdom of God. Which leads us to believe that this confession that Peter has made is very closely tied to who we are as the church. Being the church, being a community of Jesus followers, is related to the confession that Jesus is Messiah, Savior, Redeemer, Friend, our only hope, our reconciler, and that Jesus is the Son of the living God. You see, when we see Jesus in the Gospels and we hear his teaching and we read about how he treated people, especially the people that most of society pushed aside and ignored and neglected, we see who the living God is. This is who God is. Jesus is God incarnate. Jesus is the human face of God. Jesus shows us the compassion of God. You see, the church is the community of this Messiah, the fellowship of the Son of the living God. The church is not a social club. The church is not a religious institution or a moral society or the building. The church is us. The church is a people whose life together is defined by the reign of God, otherwise known as the kingdom of God, the reign of God. And it's the reign of God as seen or made known in Jesus. Jesus shows us what we are to be about as the community of the living God. You see, we affirm it that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, as some of our young friends mentioned who Jesus was. But to live it out, and to live it out with all of the implications, with what is to come because of this, because of what we say, that's another story. You see, saying the right things is not the same as living them out. In fact, it's hard to admit, but that's what gets Christians in trouble, saying one thing and doing just the opposite. But then there's Peter. You remember Peter in the Gospels, he got it right some of the time, and then he really screwed up badly other times, especially when he denied the Lord Jesus. But at the end of John's Gospel, the end of John's Gospel, Jesus reinstates or reaffirms Peter three times and gives him the work of the kingdom to do. Then we read in the book of Acts, Peter is the first one to get up on preach after the Holy Spirit is given at Pentecost. And Peter's the one who keeps being vocal, and he gets beat, and he gets thrown in jail because he cannot stop talking about what he has seen and heard through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is by that time ascended. Peter's very courageous, and he keeps moving forward, even though in the past he had gotten it wrong. Can you identify with Peter at all? I know I sure can. And the way Jesus is to Peter is very comforting to me, and would be to you too. Jesus never gave up on Peter, and he did not condemn him. He loved him, and he gave him work to do. You see, this holy adventure with Jesus is not easy. No, it demands an act of faith, not just believing and not saying the right things, but acting on them, bringing them to reality through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a way of life for us. You see, faith is not the absence of doubt. In faith, doubt is part of it because we're human and because there is a lot of mystery surrounding God and the ways of God. So who do you say that I am? Jesus asks us this, and he invites us with that question that we all need to answer for ourselves, and I would even suggest that the answer changes as we grow in our faith. And sometimes the answers stay the same. When I was a little child and memorized Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And I had a mental image, probably from a Sunday school paper, of Jesus the Good Shepherd, you know, with the gown and the staff and a lamb. And when I was afraid and when I just was having a hard time in life, I imagined Jesus in my room as the Good Shepherd, there to take care of me. That has remained my whole life, but my understanding and my experience of Jesus has grown as my faith has grown. In asking this question, Jesus invites us to let go of the things that would demand our allegiance, an allegiance that would take away from the Lord Jesus. Jesus asks us to let go of, or at least hold open-handedly, our ideas, our ambitions, our plans, and our expectations, so that if need be, they can be replaced with God, with what God has for us, because what God has for us is always in our best interest. To offer to God our dreams and our hopes so that they can be fulfilled or replaced in order to walk in the ways of Jesus. This confession, when we make the confession that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, we're saying that our lives and our witness and our ministry is to be defined by Jesus' life and his witness and his ministry. And you know as well as I do that this is not easy. To be a follower of Jesus and to do the work of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit is challenging, and it's difficult, and it's hard at times. And if we'll be totally honest, it's impossible, humanly speaking. But we know that Jesus walks with us as he did walk with Peter. And he forgives us as he forgave Peter. And he recommissions us to do the work that he has for us, the work of love and compassion, the work of mercy and grace, the work of Jesus. Jesus continues to be with us as individual followers and continues to be with us as the church in Auburndale. Jesus is with us, and Jesus has work for us to do together. The Apostle Paul really spoke of this well in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when he made the confession that in his weakness, the power of Jesus is very evident and is made room for. It's very apparent. Individually and within a community and as a community, we are followers of Jesus. We are the fellowship of Jesus, the Son of the living God. And together we become a community that testifies to the life-giving good news of Jesus in our attitudes, in our actions, in the work that goes out through this church into the community. Who do you say that I am? That's really the heart of the matter for the church, for us. How we answer with our lips and our lives defines the shape of our life together. We make this confession by God's grace, not because we mustered it up ourselves or thought of it ourselves, like Peter. So Jesus asks each and every one of us, together, as the body of Christ and as brothers and sisters in the family of Christ. Who do you say that I am? What is your testimony of me? And what is your experience of the living God through my witness and my presence? Asks Jesus. Who is Jesus to you? You answer it through based on your experiences with Jesus. So I encourage you to take the question home and think about it. pray about it, journal about it, talk about it. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who is Jesus to you? Let's pray.